Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Chukas, we have a number of interesting and famous issues that we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about the Para Aduma. We will also be talking about the hitting of the rock and what was the sin there with Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock. Was it that he didn't speak to the rock? We'll be discussing that as well. And also towards the end of the Parsha, we have the death of Aharon HaKohen, who is not Zoche to take Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. We're going to start towards the beginning of the Parsha and focus a little bit on the Para Aduma, the famous Para Aduma, the red cow. And that is talking about a red cow, a fully red, almost fully red cow. Maybe one hair could be black, up to that, not two. And a very interesting enigmatic mitzvah. It's called a chuk. Maybe it's the ultimate chuk, something that is beyond our comprehension, that if we burn the Para Aduma in a certain way and prepare it in a certain way, that when somebody is tamei and that individual is sprinkled on in a certain way, as we'll talk about, that person becomes tahor, becomes purified, but the kohen who does the sprinkling, he becomes tamei. So the pasuk calls it the Para Aduma, Para Tumum. It says the definition, the qualification requirement, it just has to be Aduma Timima. It has to be blemish free. We are now Dvar Torah number one, first Perek of the Parsha, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Beis. So it says Aduma Timima. Timima means blemish free, and it has to be red. So Rashi comments as follows, that it has to be really red. All of the hair on the cow has to be red. But Hayim Yesh Bashtei Seara Shechoras Psul, if it has two hairs that are black, that would disqualify that Para Aduma. So that means one that is black would be acceptable. It would not disqualify that Para Aduma. It says the Chidush Arim, an amazing Musar from this. Amazing Musar for us to guide ourselves in how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how we live as Jews. We see here when it comes to the red cow that it's allowed to have one black hair. That is still considered tamim. That is still considered blemish free. But when it comes to us, there's also a pasuk that applies to Klal Yisrael, tamim tihiyah im Hashem Elokecha, that we have to be blemish free in how we go, relate, interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how we mekayim the mitzvahs, how we learn, how we daven, how we interact with others. Tamim tihiyah im Hashem Elokecha, we have to be blemish free how we are with God and with our Judaism. And says the Chidush Arim there, it's a stricter standard. You can't even have one hair that is going to disqualify us. In other words, our goal has to be perfection. Will we ever get there? No, as we will discuss, even Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they were not perfect. They sinned as well. But that has to be our ultimate goal. We shouldn't be satisfied with saying, I'm okay with where I am right now, and I keep three mitzvahs of the 613, or I keep 13 or 200 of them. Our goal should always be, Tamim Tia Mashalam Kecha, should be blemish-free perfection. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number two. Same pasuk in describing the description of the requirements of the red cow. The pasuk says as follows: Asha ein ba mum, it cannot have a blemish. That's what we just said, tamim. And in addition, Asha lo ala aleha ol, that has never had a yoke upon it. That means that it could never have been worked. This cow could never have been worked, so it has to be blemish free. And also, it never had a yoke upon it. And the Chozemi Lublin says, again, an amazing message for us. We are learning from the Para Aduma messages to how we should live our lives. And he says that somebody who views himself that he doesn't have a blemish, Asher Ein Bo Mum. We're talking about people now, not about cows now. Somebody who says, I am blemish free, I have no deficiencies, be it in my character, be it in my actions towards God, I am blemish-free, I am perfect. This is a sign that that person has no ol malchus shamayim, has no fear of God. Ol is the yoke. As we said, that we're talking about the cow that has never had a yoke upon it. We're now talking about people. Somebody who says the first part of the pasuk, Asher Ein Bo Mum, somebody who views himself as, I am blemish-free, I have no mum, Ashalo Allah, oh, that is a person that has no ol malchu shamayim, that has no fear of God. Because somebody who does have fear of God, says the Chozem Lublin, would realize that he's not perfect. Nobody indeed is perfect. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we wear a yarmulke, a head covering. Men have a head covering on their heads all the time, even young boys. And that's to remember, one of the reasons, there are many reasons, but one of the reasons is to remember that God is above us. Ol Malchus Shemayim, remember the yoke of God of upon us. And we could add on from this as well that Ol Malchus Shemayim, that yoke of heaven upon us should remind us we're not perfect. Remember, God is always above us, but we should always be striving to go higher and higher. Decrease the blemishes, but never think that we have nothing to work on. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, and now we're talking about the preparation of the ash. There was a whole process in preparing it. Now with that, we have the ash. We have somebody in front of us. The Kohen has somebody in front of us at the time of the Beis HaMikdash that needed to be purified. And there are a couple ingredients that are required. So we're now Dvar Torah number 3. We're in Perek Yud Tes, the same Perek. Pasuk Yitzayin as follows. The Pasuk says, V'lachu l'tameh me'afar sreifas hachatas. You have to take for the tameh somebody who has to be purified. So we have somebody who is impure, and we have to take the ash, that's the afar sreifas hachatas, the paraduma that has been burned. So that is the first ingredient we're going to be talking about. V'nasan alav mayim chayim, and you have to put upon it mayim chayim, which means spring water. When we think about spring water, we think about purity. That's what we think about. Spring water, May Aden, the great water that you can buy in Eretz Yisrael. So, says the Admor from Gur Zatzal, that a person, we are called Adam, after Adam Arishon. Why is that Adam? It is from the word Adama. We are taken from the afar, from the ash, the dirt of the ground. That is mean afar, min ha-adama. That is from the dirt, the dust, the ash of the Adama, the ground. And accordingly, we are called Adam. We were created from the dust, from the dirt, and that is what we are are called Adam, from Adama. Accordingly, in addition to that, or maybe even in contrast to that, in addition, there has a remez in the Pasuk that we have a different task. Not that we should always be looking at ourselves as being trampled on and lowly, that's Adama, but Adame le'elyon. Adame is the same word, Adama, but here it's Dome. We should be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Elyon, the Ribono Shel Olam, the creator of the world, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That indeed we have this duality going on with us. We have these two character takes, or two approaches, two views of ourselves, that we have to look at ourselves on the one hand as lowly. We are like the dust, the dirt, the ash of the floor, of the ground from which we were created. On the other hand, we have to strive to be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our actions, in our deeds, and our character traits. Just like Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful, we have to be merciful. We have to try to have all the positive character traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the other side of things. Not that we are lowly, that's from Adama, but Adamele Elyon, we should be similar, we should mimic, we should imitate the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is, our neshama is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's chelek Elokam imal. And we should always be saying as well, Bishvili Nivra Olam, the world was created for me to do great things in this world. And accordingly, when we are purifying this individual who has an impurity, we are sending both of these messages because we have both of these ingredients. On the one hand, we have the afar from the Adama. We have the ash, the dirt from the ground, to tell them that indeed, that is a characteristic that we do have. We do come from the ground, and we have to be lowly in our approach. We have to be humble and modest. Don't think we are great. On the other hand, how do we have to strive to be? We have to strive to be like Mayim Chaim. We have to strive to have that spring water which represents the great, pure, healthy neshama, that we have amazing godly potential. And that is the explanation of the Admor Migur, that we have these two ingredients trying to purify somebody, and applies whether the person is pure or impure, that we have to have both of those approaches. On the one hand, we are called Adam, from the Adama, from the ground. We are lowly on the one hand, we have to know that. But on the other hand, our potential is to be godly. Adam Mele Elyon, not to be a god, but to be godly, to mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to have both of those approaches, and those two indeed coexist beautifully together. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. Miriam, in our Parsha, she passes away, the brother of Moshe and Aaron. And as Chazal tell us, it's actually based on this week's Parsha, the reason that Klal Yisrael was zoche to have the Be'er Mayim, the water that followed them for 40 years for them to drink in the Midbar, was in her schus, in her merit. She waited for Moshe Rabbeinu by the Nile. Accordingly, the Nile of water, so too, because of that, Klal Yisrael merited to have water for the 40 years. And when she passed away in our parsha, indeed, the water, that Be'er Mayim that the Klal Yisrael had went away. Now we have a terrible lack of water. We have thirst, and inevitably we have the complaints of Klal Yisrael. Why didn't you leave us in Mitzrayim? We've heard this before. Here we are, we've gone for so many years, and we're about to die of thirst in the Midbar. Moshe falls, Davins, Aaron falls, Davins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Moshe Rabbeinu, also Aaron, Moshe, take your staff, speak to the rock. And in the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu, in place of speaking to it, he hit the rock, as is known. And as a punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're now in Dvar Torah number 4, Perek Chav Pasuk Yubeis Yoni A'an Lo Eman, to be like Tisheni, you didn't have a moon in me, to be Mekadosh me, to sanctify me. The punishment for Moshe and Aaron was that they would not be Zocha to take Klal Yisrael into the land of Israel, but they had to pass away before entering into the land of Israel. And in fact, there is a major debate, a major machlokis among the Rishonim, what was the great sin of Moshe and also Aaron, that they lost the merit, that they lost the privilege to enter the land of Israel. And we'll just focus on the machlokas between the Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam, on the one hand, says as follows, that the Iker Chet, the primary sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, was that he got upset at Klal Yisrael, and he told them off, Shimuna Hamorim, you rebellers, you rebels, listen up. We have the anger of the great leader, the great Tzaddik, the great Anav, the great and modest and patient individual, unbelievable patience that Moshe Rabbeinu had throughout with all the complaints of Klal Yisrael. He even said at one point, as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're planning on getting rid of Klal Yisrael, as you're saying, take me out. I want to be removed from your sefer. Machenina misifra chasher kasafta. Erase me from your sefer. Moshe Rabbeinu, being the person who's advocating constantly for Klal Yisrael, but at a certain point, he got upset at them. Enough of the complaints, rebellers, complainers. Listen up. This is what's going to happen. So that's the view of Rambam, the anger of Moshe Rabbeinu at Klal Yisrael. Shimuna hamarim, you rebellers. That was the chait of the Mei Meriva. That is the chait that we have here. And accordingly, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished and was not Zoch and Aaron to not go into the land of Israel. Ramban has a totally different take on this. The fundamental sin of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he hit the rock. This is the famous one. He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, speak to the rock. That would have been a much greater Kiddush Hashem. Just speaking to the rock and it gave forth water. That shows if the rock is going to listen, we certainly have to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not do that. Instead, he used physical force, hit the rock. It's a lesser of a Kiddush Hashem. Also a Kiddush Hashem, amazing thing. But what could have been, had he followed the instructions of speaking to the rock, would have been a much greater, a multiple of a Kiddush Hashem than hitting the rock. So that's the view of the Ramban. On the one hand, the Rambam was the anger of Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Shimuna Amorim, and the Ramban is the hitting of the rock rather than the speaking of the rock. And says the Kiddusha Salevi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev, that in fact we view these as two different approaches, two different reasons, two different explanations for the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, they are one. And he explains as follows. They are the same. And he explains as follows that there are two types of, he calls them tzaddikim, we could say leaders, two types of leaders of tzaddikim. On the one hand, there is a tzaddik, and we'll call this the second one. We'll go out of order. The second type of tzaddik is someone, he sees somebody doing something wrong, or a group of people doing something wrong, and gives them tochacha. He gives them, he lays into them, he rebukes them, he says, you're not doing right, you're doing terribly. He badgers them until they actually come and do tshuva. Typically, if they do tshuva, they repent. It's because they're relenting. It's not because it comes from internal, that they really have this inspiration that they want to do tshuva, that they were inspired and they want to, but rather they're bludgeoned into doing tshuva. They get tochach and rebuke and badgering and et cetera, et cetera. That's the second. That's not the ideal, obviously. That's the second way a tzaddik or a manhig, a leader, would quote-unquote inspire or force people to do tshuva. The first type, and this is obviously the preferred type, or the required type, would be somebody who raises individuals up, who raises them up by saying, you're great, and what you're doing is beneath you. That's beneath you. You're better than that. In fact, Rabbi Abraham Tversky Zatzal, Rabbi Professor, Doctor, Abraham Tversky speaks a lot about this, and he said when he was younger, this is how his father used to speak to him. His father used to say when little Abraham, who became great Abraham Tversky, when he was little, his father, if he did something wrong, he would say, that's pashnisht. This is below you. You're so much greater than this. You're able to do so much better. That's beneath you. And when you're told that, especially over and over again, you realize that what you're doing, that sin that you're doing, that bad behavior you're doing, you don't want to do it because it's below you. And you're inspired. You're inspired to do much better than that. And the difference between those, not only is it becomes inspiration, the first part, the first type that we're talking about now, we went at the first part is the ideal. This is the Rabbi Abraham Tversky approach, that you want to inspire somebody by saying, this is below you, don't sin, you're so much better than that. That's type A. That's the first approach. The second approach is not ideal. It's when you bludgeon somebody into being so chozer b'tshuva. Now says the Kedusha Salevi that in fact, these are totally different. Does the inspiration come from within or outside? The first approach here comes from inside. I want to do better. I don't want to do bad. That's beneath me. And when somebody is like that, and somebody turns around and acts appropriately, not only does it inspire him, but it inspires everyone and everything around them. It inspires the whole world, that everyone wants to join into that inspiration and that improvement, that individual nature itself is inspired and impacted to have that aliyah, to have that elevation and improvement. On the other hand, if we're the less ideal or not ideal at all approach, that the person who gets rebuked, and finally he relents and gives in, he's told over and over again, finally says, okay, I'll do better. And he changes his actions. It doesn't come from the inside. And he's not inspired. And he doesn't inspire others. He doesn't inspire the people of the world that are there to facilitate Klal Yisrael Ruchnius, that facilitate Klal Yisrael doing better. They're not inspired. Nature is not inspired by that approach. And accordingly, says the Kedusha Salevi, now we can tie everything together. We had this apparent machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, that the sin, according to the Rambam, was the Ka'as, was the anger of Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, calling them rebels, rebellers. And the Ramban saying that the sin was that he hit the rock. These are the same thing as follows. Actually, one is the consequence of the other. It comes as follows. Then Moshe Rabbeinu finally, he was such a patient person, but now he broke. He got upset. He got upset at Klal Yisrael, and accordingly he said, you're sinners, you can't be doing this. And they weren't inspired to improve. But he said such strong words to them. Okay, maybe we need to relent. Maybe we need to improve. But if you look at everything else, nobody else, the Umas Ha'olam, the nations of the world, and nature is no way inspired. We don't want to have any part of this. And accordingly, Moshe gets upset. He says, Shimuna Hamorin, you rebellious, the anger. But the consequence was not inspiring nature and everything else, but no one else wanted to play ball. That rock did not want to play ball and let the water forth. And accordingly, it would not suffice at this point because Moshe Rabbeinu got upset. He took the second approach, is getting upset. He didn't inspire that rock like nature, which should be inspired when we take the first approach. When we take the first lovely approach and raise the individual, everyone else, all of nature wants to participate with that. That wasn't the approach here of Moshe. Typically, yes, but here it wasn't the approach of Moshe Rabbeinu because of the anger. That's what the Rambam says, is the anger was the sin. A consequence of that was the rock did not want to adhere to any requests by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice. If he wanted to get that water out of the rock, he had to hit that rock. And accordingly, that was the next step. Moshe Rabbeinu had to hit the rock. So that's how the Kedusha Salevi explains that these two approaches are actually one. It was the anger of Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael that they relented, but no one else did. No one else wanted to play ball. There was no change in nature, no inspiration. Accordingly, the rock did not want to let that water go forth, and he had to, and this is the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice, but he had to hit the rock. And the consequence of that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yan Lo Hemanta Bilak Dishenu, there was no Kiddush Hashem here. And because of that, we have the terrible onus of Moshe and Aaron not being able to enter the land of Israel. And now we are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, towards the end of the Parsha. We have the passing away of Aharon. He goes up to Har Hor HaHar, where he is passing away. We are now Dvar Torah number 5, We are in Perek Chav, Pasuk Chav Vav, Vahavshet, Es Aharon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should take off the clothing of Aaron. He was wearing the Bigdei Kahuna, the Kohen Gadol had the special garments. Aaron was wearing them, Vahavshet, Es Aharon, Es Begadav. And what should you do with them? Now we are having Elazar, the son of Aaron, step up and replace him as the Kohen Gadol. Dilbashtam Es Elazar Bono, you should put them on Elazar, the son of Aharon. And the Sha'ar Bas Rabim asks the following fascinating question. There is a halacha that a kohen is permitted to wear the Bigdei Kahuna, the clothing, the special garb of the kohanim, when they're doing the avoda, when they are during the service of the Beis HaMikdash. They're involved in the avoda, they're bringing korbanos, they're bringing sacrifices and the lot. But if they're on their personal time, PTO, personal time off, if they're doing their own needs, they're not doing the avoda in at that time in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, they're not permitted to wear the Bigdei Kahuna, the clothing of the Kohanim, that is sanctified and should not be worn when you're not doing sanctity issues, sanctified issues. You're not involved in bringing korbanos and doing the various avoda services in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question that he asked the Sha'ar Bas Rabim is, how can we have Aharon HaKohen wearing the Bigdei Kahuna when he's going up to Hor HaHar to pass away? That's his personal time, it's his personal issue. This is not an avoda for Klal Yisrael. So in fact, he answers that Chazal tell us that the death of tzaddikim acts as a kapara, like a korban. Once again, the death of tzaddikim, when a tzaddik passes away, that acts as repentance, just like a korban. You bring a korban chatas, you bring a korban asham. These are the type of sacrifices that wipe away sins. And so too, the passing of a tzaddik does that on a communal basis, on a global basis, wiping out the sins of Klal Yisrael. It acts as a kapara, acts as repentance. Accordingly, when we have Aharon going up to Hor HaHar in order to pass away, in fact, he was involved in the avoda. And what's the korban? He was the korban. Aharon is the korban, that his death is a kapara for Klal Yisrael, and accordingly, it was worthy, proper, and required, incumbent upon him to be wearing the Bigdei Kahuna, because he is now the korban that is bringing the kapara for Klal Yisrael. That's why going up, indeed, he should be wearing the clothing, and only then it was removed in order to pass that clothing on to Elazar, his son, who would be replacing Aharon HaKohen going forward. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.